I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
But there's a sign upon your door.
You can probably move this like that.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.
Okay, we turn the microphones back on.
There's some of us that can't keep quiet.
We have Tropical Typhoon Katrina with us today.
Hi, everyone.
We have Pastor Donnie.
On my door I'd hang a sign.
And we got Captain Kale. And we've got Barry. Tarpon World Barry.
You were not here last week.
Yeah, he skipped out on us last week.
Skipped out, yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know, man.
I felt like there was a loss of communication.
Do you feel that you have been denied critical need to know information?
In any relationship, I feel like communication's healthy. So I feel like we can improve on our communication.
You went biblical on us there, Frank. Communication is the key.
I am beginning to get worried.
All right, for the record, I should have called you, and I deeply apologize.
I forgive you.
All right. But I thought Frank did it, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to God and Fishing. I'm the fishing part.
I'm the God part.
And why don't you get us open?
Opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a glorious day. Father, it's been a blessed day. We've saw a lot of opportunity to witness for you, to glorify your name. And Father, we're reminded today that in this fellowship, we're going to mention you, glorify you, and all the things we say, do, and think. And Father, we ask you just to continue to praise us, to bless us with the fish that you have given us an opportunity to be in your world to go out and catch. Father, always keep us safe out on the waters. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. Well, I'm going to get to the fishing
part. All right, let's get to the fishing part.
All right. All right. One of the things, people always talk about hurricanes. And hurricanes are... like Hurricane Katrina, Typhoon Katrina, Storm Katrina. What happens is hurricanes are kind of a balancing act for nature. Mm-hmm. They kind of balance the temperature out. It's a weird reset. They do it very violently and very destructively, but it is a balancer. And one of the things we notice whenever you have a big storm go by, the water temperature from the deep, you get a lot of that cooler flow come in a little shallower, depending on where the storm comes.
Okay.
Now, if the storm is pushing the water in towards shore, it can actually move the deeper water out. If the water's pushing out, it can actually recirculate it back. It has to do with surface water moving one way and the water on the bottom moving the other way.
Right.
But the last storm moved a lot of that cooler water from 100, 110 feet into that 60 feet of water.
And when you say the last storm, Frank, do you mean Dorian, just as to clarify? Which storm exactly?
Yeah, the Dorian.
Okay.
When Dorian went by,
okay. It
moved a whole bunch of the cooler waters in. And it really wouldn't matter which hurricane it was. It could be, you know, after Charlie we saw big effects, after, you know, Francis, Jean. Anytime you bring a big storm,
Irma, effects.
Mm-hmm. Huge effects from these storms. So hurricanes can change things a lot. And one of the things it did during Dorian was bring the cooler waters from that 100-plus feet of water all the way up into that 60 feet of water. And following that was the gag grouper, the red grouper. We got a lot more bigger fish that came a lot closer, literally 20 miles closer in. And this was all just from the storm effect.
Right.
Even though, you know, we didn't have, no houses got wrecked and trees didn't fall down, electricity didn't go out, but everything still affects a lot of stuff. And that's why hurricanes are kind of balancers, because it really dropped the water in the Gulf. So we got a lot more snappers and grunts
closer,
and all that
huh?
in cooler, in closer,
now closer now, huh?
because of the cooler water.
That's
so
cool.
It's kind of a weird aspect that when you're looking at fishing, weather can dramatically affect where these fish are, how far out they are, how close they come in. It's, you know, and what else do, you know, we can watch TV, we can look at our cell phones and check out pictures and videos and stuff, and we can look at the clock and say, all right, it's 6 o'clock, I got to be there, or, you know. But with animals and everything, it's just about, you know, what does the weather do to them? Where are they comfortable? They're going to go out, they're going to get cooler water in the summer, warmer waters in the winters. It's pretty basic.
Well, I think also when you look at the nature, how things go, last year we battled a little bit of this sludge that came out of Lake Okeechobee, came through the canals,
yeah.
Hit our waters, kind of caused some problems out there in the Gulf. We have red tides.
But now keep in mind, Okeechobee and the Coosahatchee cannot affect anything north of Boca Raton Pass. So anything that you experienced up in Englewood and all that, we're from another source.
Yeah. But what I'm talking about is the fish themselves.
Yeah.
When they move out of that location, they're going to migrate out of there. They know problems are coming. You can see it every year when we start to get red tide here, the fish move up a little bit north or they'll go a little bit south. You'll see them move before the red tide is really agitating. They'll move out.
The biggest migration we ever saw was the state dumped 1.2 billion gallons of phosphate sludge about 80 miles off of Tampa and just a little bit north. And for 2 years, we had the worst. Made this last one look like the nothing it was. I mean, the last one was bad, but it wasn't catastrophic.
Right. What year was that, Frank?
It was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
And
that soon.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't that long ago, but Facebook didn't exist back then. Facebook's relatively new. You guys don't realize how new social media is because you're used to seeing it. So it's like cell phones. When I grew up, there was no cell phones.
Right.
True.
There was no way.
There was no phones, Frank.
When I mean, I had a party line when I was a kid. You know, old George, you'd hear him in the back going. You're trying to talk to your girlfriend and say, yeah, I want to meet you.
I didn't experience that.
If you click it about three times, you get Mayberry on a phone.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I remember those days. We had party lines.
So is that why that big, you know, phosphate dump wasn't as, I guess, highly publicized because social media?
Well, the state don't want you to know they do stuff like that.
Yeah, the state don't want you to know they do illegal stuff.
They actually do not want you to know that almost every city on the coast of Florida, on the West Coast especially, has a permit to dump any excessive sewage into the Gulf. And all they have to do is filter out the solids. They don't have to treat it. They just have to filter out the solids.
Which means grind it up and then still let it go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it has to be filtered. So
what was the biggest migration you were talking about when that happened?
Dinosaurs. When they dumped that 1.2 billion gallons of phosphate sludge, and I said B with a billion.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, on the beaches we heard about, we went out to see it. There was crabs and shrimp and fish and just a huge line of it heading south trying to get away from this mass, you know, destruction. And the best way I could liken it to is a haboob, you know, when you see those big dust storms with that wall of stuff coming at you. You know, and the animals just running in front of it.
Same thing happens in front of a forest fire. In the Everglades and in the down south. It always happens. If you look back all the way, and I joked about dinosaurs a minute ago because Frank was probably around back then.
love you, Frank. The hardest thing I had with the dinosaurs was naming them.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyrannosaurus Rex seems simple, but back then I can tell you, when I'm trying to put a name to these guys.
You could have just said T-Rex.
It started out as Tom.
But now, do you guys know?
It just didn't seem bad.
Yeah,
enough.
Just Tom. Tom didn't seem wicked enough for the short arms and their aggressive teeth.
Yeah, there had to be something more.
The migration happened the same way. There was going to be a worldwide flood. It happened. The Bible talks about it. 70 other nations of the time, if you look through archaeology files, they write about it. 400 nations write about it. They missed a couple of details, like the names or the size of the ship. But 400 nations of the time of the flood that kept records that shortly thereafter, like, you know, within the first 70 years, they all keep records of this. And they'll tell you about the flood. Well, the migration, we can look at the history and see what happened. Down in Arizona, you have the little ones and the old ones.
Yeah.
And that's where they got buried at. But the younger ones, the middle-aged ones, the ones that was a little bit quicker, they ran up to the north, up to Colorado area. And they got to the highest point possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down in the south part where the young ones, where the little and the sick ones and the old ones, and if you go up to Colorado, you'll notice the two different brackets. One was healthier and they can run faster. But both parties had their necks up trying to grasp for whatever air they can keep from being drowned. Flood, yeah. That's pretty interesting.
All right.
Your animals know when nature flood.
I have always been a big proponent of follow the elephants. You've heard me say it before, Frank.
Yep.
If you're laying on a beach and a herd of elephants runs by you, follow the elephants.
We're in Florida. Where's the elephant?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
If they come, are you talking about you follow them. Are you talking about the right?
Are you talking about the thick, like, snowbirds? Is that what you're talking about?
There are a few.
I'm not saying all of them are thick, but I'm just saying I'm thick. I can say
we're not actually doing the thunder thigh thing. But I didn't say
Frank,
that. Did I go there,
Frank? But right. I totally agree with you. I think if you pay attention to nature. God warns his animals, and they pay attention. He warns us, and we didn't get on the ark. I mean, we just like...
We saw it during Hurricane Charlie.
Yep.
All the tagged sharks left Charlotte Harbor.
Isn't that interesting?
2 or 3 days before the storm. They knew it was coming here before our meteorologists did, and they're actually using shark data now to help them predict hurricanes.
Yep.
And same thing with the oar fish in the Philippines.
The oar fish?
Yeah.
Yep.
Before the earthquake comes, they basically come by the
That's an earthquake, not even like a weather.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
but they can sense it in that water. I don't know if the vibration travels
all
better.
I think water. All of the
absolutely.
Ants.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My sister was outside, and she still smokes, so she was outside of her work having a smoke, and she's looking, and all the ants are going up the building. They're not going up and down the way ants normally do it. Yeah, the morning of Charlie, all the ants were going up the building.
Huh.
Yeah, that means something's coming.
I remember the morning of Charlie, like, I think I was like 17, and I remember, like, or 16, and I remember I was fishing that morning, and I remember it was so weird because I was under the influence that it was coming up to Tampa. Like, that was the prediction, and there was not a single bird around that morning. It was the weirdest thing.
Yep.
I remember that because I remember thinking to myself, this is before I ever, like, understood anything about animals, knowing anything before, but there was not a seagull, not a pelican around. It just felt weird being on the water that morning and not seeing a bird.
I'll kind of go with you. I was out doing a charter that morning.
You were?
I needed the money. I called Robert, my dad, people, like 10, 11 o'clock the night before and said, this storm is coming right in on top of us. Oh, you're full of beans,
What led you to that?
What
made you say that the night before?
Because I studied the aviation reports.
He followed the elephants.
The wind's at 30,000 feet aloft on a big storm like that, steer the hurricane.
Yeah.
And there was a massive wind storm in high altitudes right across Tampa. It was impossible for that storm to go to Tampa. It was never going to happen.
There was a wind shear or something that was going to block
it? No, it was a steering current.
Yep. Okay, that's
just what I'm saying. But now there was another part, a factor in that, and that's Inglewood. If a hurricane comes close into to Inglewood, there's the coral.
Everybody
underneath.
Farts there and it just blows the atmosphere up.
They said at one point it was because of the Indian Mound, but come on. But there's coral that lies real thick. All the way out. Doesn't do that down here in Port Charlotte. Doesn't do that up in Sarasota. It's like a big, long coral reef that really hovers right out in front of Inglewood. So if you get the high wind from the wind and it's hitting that coral, that hurricane slows down a little bit. And
I will
that
say
alters
because
the plan of that deal. No hurricane has ever smacked into Inglewood.
I will say because you're Pastor Donnie and one of the people that I dearly appreciate more than most.
Yeah,
I will let you have that, but there was a huge wind shear going right across.
You gotta let that one go. Seriously, it is.
What did you notice the morning of your charter, though, and the morning before Charlie?
I didn't care. I was mad at everybody, and I said, y'all don't want to listen to me. I barricaded up my house, went out, took my charter, made some extra money, went back to the house, picked up stuff, and watched my house, my store, and my belongings go away.
Yeah, but did you notice anything like animal wise, or just did you catch fish that morning? Was it?
Yeah,
like
I caught some fish.
Okay.
Yeah, every time before a storm, you're always going to fishing before a storm is usually really good.
Yeah.
Because as that pressure drops,
yep.
If you're out there, let's say you're fishing for walleye in a lake in Minnesota, and you can see the storm front coming at you. Now, if you got the cojones, the brass ovaries, and you can hang out there. Every fish in the world is going to eat everything they're going to eat because once that low pressure comes, that air pressure is going to drop, releasing the water pressure. It's going to expand their swim bladder. They're not going to be able to swim correctly. They get all funky in the water. They can't hold position because they stay in place with a tiny little swim bladder. As that bladder expands out, they rise up in the water. So when the air pressure and the water pressure changes, so does the pressure on the swim bladder. They get all discombobulated. They're floating when they want to be sinking. They can't,
feeding's like the last thing on their mind at that point. They're trying to regulate themselves.
So right before that all happens, as they can feel this coming, the bigger the storm drop, and once that drop hits, they're done eating. They can feel that going to come, and then, boom, it hits. They get all sick, like you coming down in an airplane from, 40,000 feet in 3 minutes. It messes up your ears, your sinuses, your stomach. And each fish it affects differently, but the shallower the water, the bigger the swim bladder, the more the fish is affected.
Now, while we're on these kind of subjects, while we're dealing with the changes in water, the temperature, the weather, when we have a full moon and we are far from the moon, that plays a huge, huge factor on the way you catch
and
fish as well.
That's a light issue.
That's how
a light issue, or it's a light issue.
No, it's a light issue.
You think it's a light
issue? It's very, very simple. Fish like to feed mornings and evenings the best because you get a little bit of light, but they can still be a little sneaky coming around.
Right. Okay.
So the bait's not going to see them real well, but they can actually see what they're going after, but not from a great distance. But they can smell them, they can hear them, they get up close, and it's that twilight. Now, when you have a full moon and it's really bright, it's twilight all night.
That's what
and they can attack their, they can go after their prey.
Yeah.
They feed because they're stealthier. They the prey has a harder time seeing that they're coming. So this is the prime feeding time all night long.
Yeah.
And then you notice they won't hit all morning, but later in the afternoon they'll start to eat again because they're full after eating all night.
Right.
It's literally a light issue.
The other thing that the full moon does is if you think about your marine life, when do most of your marine life breed?
Right.
During a full moon.
Right.
Some of them will breed every full moon. Some of them will breed several full
moons. At my age, it does help to have the light on.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to ask, does that help increase breeding if you...
Yes. The God part, sure.
Does that help spawning?
Oh,
yes, spawning.
Absolutely.
Spawning.
Oh, he said spawning. I thought he said... Never mind.
Your lower life forms spawn. Your corals, your worms, stuff like that will spawn. And that gives your whole circle of life a kick in the pants every full moon.
Do you find that
they're giving out spawn? That's food.
Yeah. How do you find that? As far as I'm a fisherman
because
I love to fish, but we're also hunters, right?
Sure.
And so, do you hunt much, Frank?
I used to when I lived up north. I hunted all the time. I came to Florida, and everything it's down here,
fish.
Not so much now. Wants to sting you, eat you, poison you, bite you,
latch on and suck your blood,
drip you, drag you under the mud. I don't.
Yeah, like sharks are so much more pleasant. I don't know. All right. Anyway, so when we're out there, I'm just saying. There's a lot of things in the wild.
What we're doing is and we really appreciate you listening to God and Fishing, but Pastor Donnie is going to be starting a new show here later today with Captain Kale, and so we're kind of getting into a little bit of that. So stay tuned for further events.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
same
God.
Fish time. Same fish channel.
I wasn't going to plug that yet, but all right. But what I was talking about is what I have found when I'm out in the woods and I'm hunting.
Hey, this is pineapple rum. It may look like water, but...
Is that what you have over there?
Yeah, my dad's in ICU.
I did not turn that into
My dad's in ICU. He's not doing well. This is pineapple rum.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be an entertaining show. Anyway, when I'm hunting, I don't like to go out on a full moon. I don't enjoy it as much. I'm not as equipped to be as stealthy. The animals have more light. They can see us a little bit easier. So I don't like to be out there at nighttime. So when I'm fishing, it's kind of opposite. When we're fishing, I don't mind to go out there. But when I hunt, I like to be a little more stealth. I like to have a little bit less light. I think the animals don't like to move around as much in the light. Those kind of things. What do you think?
Definitely. I like to use the full moon, be it hunting or fishing, to my advantage.
Yeah.
People overthink fishing. Fish only care about three simple things. Eat, reproduce, don't get eaten.
Right.
That pretty much fills a fish's 24-hour day.
Yep.
And when it comes to reproduce, it's going to be through those full moon phases.
Yep.
Now, right now, the big redfish are in.
Yeah.
And their spawning period goes from the full moon in August to the full moon in October. Mm. And that full moon keys those spawns. So that's going to bring them together. Mm. Well, what better way to catch fish is when they're all in one spot,
that's right,
all schooled up.
That's right.
Hunting, when they spawn, can go the opposite way.
Yep.
When they spawn, what you got to think of is eggs, fertilizer, you know, the eggs and the sperm and all right. that. That's all part of the plankton series, guys. So as you have a lot of fish spawning, you have a lot more plankton in the water. Plankton is not just small fish and
I've
other critters.
Barry, I've got to do it.
It's a lot of eggs and stuff as well.
I don't want to do it, Barry. Why don't you do it? Because I kind of want to do it, but I don't want to do it.
Oh my
He's God. Got the brum going thing going on, so I think
I probably know. Should do it.
Right. No. He has no filter.
What did
Frank,
I do?
Is that why the ocean's salty? All right, stop. Let's not.
Talking about.
All right, now wait a minute
else.
Here. I was making a perfectly legitimate
That's
plankton
Frank. Why would you say
this
that?
This was plankton.
Frank. Plankton, okay.
Plankton.
Little swimmers of the ocean. Yep.
Little swimmers in the ocean. I got it, Frank.
Yep.
But it's all part of the food out there, you know?
It's why not I don't put something. My cast net in my mouth.
Somebody else has been sipping this rum.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to stick with the God part. Y'all
now,
just,
now, wait a minute.
You're off the deep end now.
Right about now, Dunny, I think we could use a prayer.
Yeah, let's do it. Definitely.
You might want to throw in one for forgiveness.
Pray for it.
For
Dunny.
The group. I'm not taking responsibility.
I was completely innocent, Frank. I was,
yeah, right. Okay. One for the group here.
One for the group.
One for the group.
Dear Heavenly Father, we would love for your presence to be here with us, Father, to keep God in our tongue and our hearts and our mind and our soul. And Father, for this great camaraderie that we have with our brothers and sisters here. And Father, for getting this knowledge out here to the public, for letting them know how the weather activates the fish and what to be looking for and how the moon kind of works out. And Father, we just thank you for this time to share your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we might be a little naughty, but
we.
Me. You're I might be me. A little naughty. I yeah. know I'm the fish guy. I get it.
Yeah.
But
somebody else gets a blame.
Well-meaning. Well-meaning. Really just, you know.
Good intentions.
Yes.
Not you.
Right. I'm looking out for you. I wasn't saying I was.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say I was good intentioned. I can't stand up for you on this one. All right. Now, back
I'm just
we started
we
out.
All thinking it.
Well, we're down to like 3 minutes in the show. I was really going to talk about fishing during this broadcast.
We did talk about fishing. We were talking about how the light and how the hurricane and how the different storms affected your
well, what? How about this? What about a new moon? Let's hear your take on that, Frank. If full moons are for feeding at night and all that, does that mean on the new moon they're not going to do much at night?
For as far as me as a human fisherman, on a new moon, I'm going out very first thing in the morning.
Early.
Because those fish are going to be ready to feed. It's all going on. I'm going to fish from daylight on. That's going to be some of your best fishing. On a full moon, when it's been very bright all night, I'm going to wait till after lunch. I'm going to go out and fish in the late afternoon. Those fish are going to be ready to eat again. You got to figure, we like to eat, you know, let's say 8, noon, and 6 at night.
Yeah.
And you give that fish about that 4 to 6 hour window as well. So if they've been feeding all night, I want to wait about 4 to 6 hours after they get done with that all night feed. And then now their stomach's starting to get a little, okay, I could eat, you know, kind of thing.
Okay, that's really solid. I mean, that's through fishing, that's what I've noticed as well. Like sometimes I like to not go by what the fish tell me instead of what everyone tells me.
Right.
But that does match up exactly to how
fish. Do you notice better with the live bait or the jig bait for those?
It really is the exact same.
They're ready to go anyway.
It's just, are they going to eat? And sometimes if they fed for, you know, outside of me, occasionally if I have a little too much pineapple rum, I don't want to eat right away after I'm done eating. Usually I want to wait a little while.
Frank, if you're like me, I'll literally eat any time of the day. If you even give me near food, I've seen me eat it.
Eat what?
Anything. Right. We got by the rum dude.
Yeah, I wasn't shushing. I was just trying to get breath. I'm drunk.
Tiki bar.
Why don't you pray us out, down.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this opportunity that we had to fellowship. And Father, we lift up our brother Frank as he's dealing with his dad in the hospital. We ask for your complete comfort and healing in this life. And Father, just guide us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 By a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really La.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign. Gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing, I stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man.